And so we, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, as Barbara Aho's ministry is, www.watch-unto-prayer.org. Barbara Aho's ministry and those women who work with her and her writings and all of her work has been a huge landmark in connecting all the dots, a huge landmark, a time of dividing where I can see huge landmarks throughout my life that have changed me and turned me and focused me. And Barbara's ministry has been that to me. And of course, since then we've changed the name. I mean, we've just, you know, going a different, completely different directions there. She is, things didn't make sense. Her ministry, her hard work has connected all the dots. We sure appreciate all of her hard work. Recently, she has spent a lot of time, because this is a gigantic amount of work here. Her work that's just now put out, which we sent out in our email. Appreciate all those who are out there bringing up your emails, signing up for our emails. We appreciate that. Her latest here is Death of the Phoenix, Final Act for the United States of America. The United States is predestined to be its Judeo-Masonic by the Judeo-Masonic founders to be destroyed and to rise again as a new Atlantis, the pre-flood civilization which God destroyed. And it's got eight different acts. The Death of Phoenix begins with an expose of the occult signature of Hurricane Katrina, covers the events in western, central, and midwestern states in the U.S., political events, also for the genocidal policies of Judeo-Freemasonry, including Dominionist Theocracy, Civil War, Roman Catholic Inquisition, Talmudic Noahide Laws. Death of the Phoenix concludes with the Judeo-Masonic vision of the new Atlantis rising from the ruins of the United States. And that's just a little small clip of the whole act. And did we email that out to everybody, Phyllis? All her acts, so that you've got it there. Go ahead and print it out, folks, and start reading it, as I have. And Barbara, your work, this is your best piece, and boy, is it full of unbelievable information. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't got it all read, but I've got probably what you're going to be going through today read, and so much information, so much work, and you are connecting the dots beautifully. And I sure appreciate all your hard work.
Well, I only write these things up as the Lord connects the dots for me.
Good.
Over 10 years or so, He's shown me a lot. But, you know, it doesn't all come together all at once. So from the beginning, I see things as the Holy Spirit leads me into more and more information, and as we see current events develop. So I'm only passing on what the Lord has shown me. I have the time to do all this research, and I happen to be a writer. So it's just my ministry, just like yours is your ministry. And
well, the Lord's prepared you well. Luckily, you're a writer, because you're doing lots of writing. And I do a little, and I'm not a writer. I'd rather talk. But I'm going to let you teach today, as we like to do, and not try to interrupt you any, stop you a few minutes. We're going to take a two-minute break at the top of the hour, and then we'll go back for the second hour, okay?
That'll be fine.
And so you just start your teaching, and I appreciate, folks, this is Barbara Aho, her Watch Unto Prayer, www.watch-unto-prayer.org, and she will be talking today about the Death of the Phoenix, Final Act for the United States of America. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you, Kelly. I won't be able to cover the entire report today, but I just want to hit on some of the most important parts, timely events. And first of all, I want to start off talking about this New Madrid earthquake, which it looks very probable that this will hit in the near future. And from there, I want to go on and explain why it is that the United States must be destroyed, must be sacrificed by the Judeo-Freemasons. And if we have time tomorrow, perhaps I can touch on the Dominionist movement and how that fits into all of this. I'll just see how it goes. But it's all up on the website in this report at the very top of the page. If you just go to the page, you can read the whole thing. Okay, the Dominionist movement is not limited to the Calvinists, to the Reformed denominations. We often look at the political aspect of the Dominionist movement and the Constitution Party, but the Dominionist movement is pervasive throughout evangelicalism. And the aspect, the section of it that I want to talk about today is the Charismatic Revival, because the Charismatic Revival is just Dominionism in another form. And Dominionism is simply the movement to bring about the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, Dominionism really represents a shift in the theology of the church from a heavenly hope to an earthly hope, from the blessed hope of our reunion with Jesus Christ in the air to worldly domination, changing the planet. And it lines up very well with the New Age movement. In fact, that's exactly the source of it. So the Charismatic Revival really represents the great apostasy along with Dominionism. And a very good article I read on theocratic Dominionism made this statement that a largely overlooked reason for the persistent success of the Christian Rite is a theological shift since the 1960s. The catalyst for the shift is Christian Reconstructionism, arguably the driving ideology of the Christian Rite in the 1990s. So the whole Christian Rite is driven by Reconstructionism, Dominionism, the belief that Christians can change the world before the return of Jesus Christ, when the Bible clearly states that the world will get worse and worse till it practically self-destructs, and only Jesus Christ will be able to save it from total annihilation. Now, I want to talk about this New Madrid earthquake that seems to be coming up. And where I got my information on this was largely from these charismatic Dominionists. There are certain prophets in the charismatic movement. They're not true prophets, but these men are insiders. And we are convinced that they get their information not from God, but from demonic sources. And also that they are insiders of the New Age movement, of the secret societies, of the driving force that is orchestrating the destruction of the United States. And the two men that have prophesied this New Madrid earthquake are Chuck Pierce and Kim Clement. Now, these two men also prophesied, Kim Clement prophesied, or I'll say predicted, 9/11 before it happened. Both of them prophesied the hurricanes that were going to hit Florida. They also prophesied Hurricane Katrina and the Hurricane Rita that hit Texas as well. And their prophecies have come to pass with astounding accuracy. So we began to look at these men and what they were saying, what they were writing, not because we consider them to be prophets of God, but because they know what's going to happen. They are insiders. They're getting inside advance information. And if we wanted to know what was coming up, that would probably be a good place to look. So I purchased Chuck Pierce's book, Releasing the Prophetic Destiny of a Nation. I had been on the email list of the Strategic Prayer Network, which he is a vice president, he's a national apostle of the Strategic Prayer Network. And I got on their mailing list, really by a fluke. I'm sure if they knew that they had put me on their mailing list, they'd be sorry. But the Strategic Prayer Network was started by C. Peter Wagner. Now, many people are familiar with him, but if you're not, don't know much about the charismatic movement, you may not be. But Peter Wagner, years ago, started the United AD 2000 Prayer Network. And after the year 2000, it evolved into the U.S. Strategic Prayer Network. And Peter Wagner appoints apostles and prophets throughout the charismatic movement. And these prophets and apostles have amazing authority. They have basically usurped the authority of the charismatic churches without the pastors many times even realizing it. And they announced in 2003 the implementation of the ruling apostolic authority over all churches in every state. So all the churches in the charismatic movement that are involved with the Strategic Prayer Network are now under the authority of C. Peter Wagner, who has declared that he is the head of all the currently known apostles in the world. And one of his apostles is Chuck Pierce. Now, Chuck Pierce is the president of Glory of Zion International Ministries. He's the vice president of Wagner's Global Harvest Ministries. He's a member of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. He's a national apostle. And when these apostles and prophets speak in the charismatic movement, I have some experience with that movement, and I know that when these men and women give their prophecies, they are received as with authority, I think even higher than the Word of God. Their disciples, many of them pastors, just hang on their every word. And when they give a new revelation, it's taken as being from God. So this is a frightening situation that so many charismatics are sitting under the teaching of these people who are nothing more than neo-pagans in sheep's clothing, and they're receiving their prophecies as truth, and they're actually involved in helping them carry out these prophecies. Now, Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets, another prophet or apostle, wrote a book, Releasing the Prophetic Destiny of a Nation. It was published last year, and this is the result of a 50-state tour that Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets did throughout the United States. They went to every state in the Union, and they prophesied over these states. And they were enlisting pastors and whole churches to help them to do their spiritual, what they call spiritual warfare, territorial warfare. And what they do is they go out into the highways and the byways, wherever I think there is a sacred site. And they make decrees. They are calling forth the angels in the heavenlies to do certain things. And it all sounds so wonderful. They speak of revival and harvest. But if you study the pattern of when they issue their decrees in the heavenlies and what happens afterward, it is invariably some kind of disaster. So the other prophet that he falls into this category too, under the Strategic Prayer Network, although he's not part of the elite, he's one of the prophets, is Kim Clement. Now, Kim Clement has made a lot of false prophecies, but he's made a lot of true prophecies. He's a graduate of Oral Roberts University. He's been a guest on TBN, Praise the Lord show, very often. He's just in the process of moving his ministry from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Santa Barbara, California, because he has prophesied that there is going to be a dynamic revival on the West Coast, really a reformation, and that the gay community from San Francisco is going to be leading the nation. So if supporters of Kim Clement Ministries can join there, if they want to contribute financially, they join the Warrior Knights Club. Now, you can't help but notice in all of their prophecies the warfare terminology. As they're talking about revival and harvest, they're also using all of these warfare terms. They have prayer warriors, and they're going to declare war here and declare war there. And the average charismatic thinks that this is spiritual warfare. But as I delved into their whole agenda, and I linked it up with the Dominionist agenda, and what I know of the Freemasons agenda, they mean real war. And It's all veiled language, but they are bringing about the demise of the United States, the destruction of vast portions of the United States, and they're enlisting Christians to help them do their work. Now, these men are sorcerers. They are doing weathermancing. When they were prophesying about Florida, especially Chuck Pierce, his group here in Florida was doing weathermancing, and they were doing this mysterious sword ritual. They were calling on the angels in the four points on the compass to come, and supposedly they were supposed to be helping to diminish these hurricanes. But if you really watch the timing of it, hurricanes that looked like they weren't going to even come here suddenly came here and did horrendous damage. So they were invoking spirits to come to Florida and wreak the damage that we have experienced over the past couple of years, and who knows what else they have in store. One reason I say they have insider knowledge of future disasters is that Peter Wagner's Strategic Prayer Network is located in Colorado Springs. Now, that is the very location of NORTHCOM and five military bases. Plus, there's something like, I'm not sure how many, 12 to 20 underground installations under Colorado Springs, or in the state of Colorado, I'm sorry, to shield the elite from the destruction that they are going to be unleashing on the United States.
And let's not forget all the other Christian, so-called Christian ministries that moved to Colorado Springs, like James Dobson.
That's right, Kelly. There are over 100 Christian ministries moving to Colorado Springs. And I just heard of another one last week. I can't think of the name of it, but they're just getting in under the wire because these so-called judgments are about to start. And another factor about Colorado Springs is Chuck Pierce announced about a year ago that they have discovered incredible wealth, gold and silver and minerals, all kinds of, and even oil in Colorado. And so these Christian ministries, along with our military, are very safely located, and they're going to be very well off for many years into the tribulation period until God begins to judge them. But I want to talk about Chuck Pierce and his prophecies about the New Madrid. Now, before the hurricanes hit Florida, Chuck Pierce made an amazing prophecy, and I want to read this prophecy because it's about more than Florida. He prophesied in February 19th of 2004, "I am mounting up the waters of breakthrough for this nation. I have brought you here to this state," meaning Florida. He's speaking this to the Florida representatives of the SPN. "Because part of the mounting up of the waters is coming this hour from this particular state, I have gathered you together here because from this state you will cause the waters to rise again. This water that is mounting over this nation cannot be stopped." And then he says, "Harvest time is upon you, and because harvest time is mounting, I must have a people with a harvest mind. I have brought you here to bring forth the first fruit of that harvest anointing. Hear the sound of the waters mount up, for the waters are mounting, and the wall that is being built against my righteousness is cracking, and within 22 months there will be floods across this land." Now, he's talking about floods across the nation. He's a little off on the timing because it's past the 22-month mark, but put this together with some of his other prophecies and with Kim Clements' prophecy, and it seems pretty obvious that we are soon going to have enormous flooding in the central United States. Okay, now, I said Chuck Pierce also prophesied New Orleans, and He's prophesied of wind and water will rise in the midst of New Orleans. That did happen. He made that prophecy precisely 1 year to the day before New Orleans was hit by Hurricane Katrina. So he knew in advance exactly when that hurricane, what it was and what when it was going to hit. And then Kim Clement, he, in one of his prophecies, I believe it was delivered last July, he railed against New Orleans. Enough of New Orleans and its treachery. Enough of stealing the Ark of the Covenant from my people. For I will take the curses, and the bodies will even rise, and they will come forth on the water. But I will keep you, and the stench of death will only last a few days. Now, this was delivered about 3 months, 2 or 3 months before Hurricane Katrina hit. So I figured, you know, I better start taking seriously what these men are saying. They know what's coming. Now, in September of 2005, that was after Hurricane Katrina, Kim Clement made this prophecy. The next sign that shall come, says the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, will be the sign of fire. And, of course, in December and January, we have seen these wildfires ravaging Oklahoma and Texas. They've spread into New Mexico, and there have been wildfires in Arkansas. And the last I looked, a day or two ago, they were still going strong in Texas and Oklahoma, or maybe just Oklahoma. So that was the next sign. And after that, according to these prophets, we're going to see this New Madrid earthquake. Now, well, before I get to that, let me just say, they also, Chuck Pierce was on the Benny Hinn program in September and November, and he made a prophecy about Detroit, that Detroit was going to come ablaze and that Los Angeles was going to begin to seethe in violence. Now, he's talking about some kind of fiery event in Detroit and urban riots in Los Angeles. He said that in the Detroit metropolitan area, it will be filled with flames of revival that will create an international stir. But then he went on to, in his book, he talked about the Muslim community in Detroit and how evil that Muslim community is. Now, I have a friend who works with me on this ministry, and she lives in Detroit, and she said that the Muslims live very peacefully in Detroit, and they own businesses, and they live very peacefully even with the Jews who own businesses. So they're not a problem. But this looks like an effort to take out the Muslim community in Detroit, which really is the center of Islam in the United States. Concerning Los Angeles, he said, and San Francisco, he says Los Angeles is in a very precarious way. I believe San Francisco is in a very precarious way. And, of course, both of these locations are in danger of tsunami, but he doesn't mention that. He says, I saw fire and explosives in L.A., not actually earthquakes. I actually saw that L.A. would become a gate for terrorism to our nation. And of course, many Hispanics are coming through our borders in that area. And this is a huge issue in the news. But it's my personal belief that the propaganda to seal our borders is not so much to keep the illegal immigrants out, but to keep the Americans inside. Once these disasters start and once martial law is declared, they don't want anybody leaving because they're going to be rounding out the dissidents, which includes the Christians. And this is really the bottom line for this whole agenda, to get rid of the Christians, the fundamental Christians, and Christianity in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, okay, Chuck Pierce has been on the Benny Hinn program twice, very interesting programs. after he prophesied about New Orleans, he said, once New Orleans starts being purified, you are going to see St. Louis begin to shake. God will draw forth out of the very center of this nation a breaking forth of his glory. We will see the glory of God rising out of St. Louis in a way that will shake us all, because the Spirit of God is going to invade that city. And then he said, okay, Benny, and asked him on the next program, what about St. Louis? Chuck Pierce said, this is what I saw, was a shaking along the line of demarcation in our nation. Now, he's referring to the Mississippi River, which straddles several states in the central USA, and Missouri is one of them. He said, okay, God is returning full circle to where our nation divided, the Civil War, and he's going to shake our nation back into a place of oneness. Well, that's not the truth. That's actually the opposite of the truth. They are going to divide and conquer our nation and create another civil war, as we'll see as I go on. Okay, so Benny Hinn keeps coming back to what's going on in St. Louis, because Chuck Pierce keeps changing the subject, and Benny Hinn wants to find out what's really going to happen there in St. Louis. So he said, in St. Louis, Chuck, what do you see? And he got very specific in this prophecy. In St. Louis, I see a shaking going on. I saw two things. I saw an incredible revival, first of all, in St. Louis. I saw a shaking of the church that is linked to the last form of Catholicism going on in St. Louis. See, they have to link all of this to revival, if anybody knew what they were really prophesying. Okay, he goes on, I saw a shaking of the ground in St. Louis, actually an earthquake, more in St. Louis, in the St. Louis region, than I actually saw in the L.A. region. And then, in a later prophecy, he said, I will shake Missouri. You will see the land shake in Missouri because of the wind from Louisiana. And so... Okay, so this strategic prayer network, they not only have made these prophecies about St. Louis experiencing this massive earthquake, but they have done things to bring it about. And the strategic prayer network is all about doing spiritual warfare and territorial warfare. And what they do is they go to various places in the U.S., and they do some very pagan rituals. Now, they went to the headwaters of the Mississippi River up there in Minnesota, and they made decrees. And here's what Chuck Pierce said. You can war with your prophetic word. The Lord told me, I want you to go to the north, and I want you to agree with me that there is a north wind that is coming upon this land. We went there to Minnesota, and we stood at the head of the Mississippi, and we decreed that the north wind of the Lord would begin to change, or would begin to come and bring change to our nation. And this is not the only group that has done this at the headwaters of the Mississippi. I've done a report on the End Time Handmaidens. It's on the website. This group also went to the headwaters of the Mississippi in 1993, and they were issuing their decrees in the heavenlies, and they even talked about Tibetan monks coming over to the United States and blessing our rivers. Well, right after all this happened, there was a great flood in the central states, and a lot of crops were ruined, and so these strategic prayer rituals have impact. They are really calling forth demonic forces to do the devil's work. And just this last year, in 2005, the End Time Handmaidens had their last annual conference in St. Louis. They've had other conferences there, and I know exactly what this group of witches and sorcerers is doing there. they're doing their witchcraft rituals. So now on to Kim Clement. Kim Clement issued a prophecy in November of last year. He said, 2006, says the Lord, shall begin with a shaking in this nation. So here he's indicating the timing of this New Madrid earthquake. It's going to be in the beginning of 2006, which is right now. And he said even more. Listen to this statement. And even in this nation there will be a grand shaking. A grand shaking. It shall be grand. It shall be pompous. It shall be victorious. It shall be glorious. I couldn't help but notice the inappropriateness of the adjectives he's using to describe what is going to produce death and destruction. Hundreds of thousands of deaths, souls going into hell. And don't think for a minute that this strategic prayer network has been sending their prophets into these cities to warn them and to preach the gospel. No, instead, they're pronouncing their curses upon these cities. They have no concern whatsoever for lost souls, and they seem just totally insensitive to the human suffering that is going to ensue. Now, I want to talk about the New Madrid seismic zone. It is located along the Mississippi River. It straddles the Mississippi from northeast Arkansas through southeast Missouri, western Tennessee, western Kentucky, and into southern Illinois. Now, most people think when we think of earthquakes in the United States, we think the most vulnerable area is California, but this is not the case. The most powerful earthquakes in North America have been along this New Madrid seismic fault, this seismic zone, this particular fault. In 1811 to 1812, those 2 years, there were four catastrophic quakes within 3 months. And there weren't any Richter scales at that point, but these have been estimated at an 8 point or higher if measured. Some of the estimates are as high as 8.6. If you can imagine the magnitude, it's hard to imagine, but this is quite an enormous earthquake that occurred almost 200 years ago. Then in 1843 and 1895, there were several 6 point and higher earthquakes, as well as 7 quakes over 5 point. But the thing is, at the time of the 1811 to 1812 earthquakes, St. Louis and the other major cities along this fault were not very populated. But that's not the case anymore. So I did a little research on what would happen in the event of another earthquake, 8 point or higher. And the information I found was just astounding. It would result in an enormous loss of life, hundreds of thousands of people, billions of dollars of property damage. It would divide the U.S. laterally. This earthquake that occurred in 1811 to 1812 was felt throughout the entire United States. It was that strong. But this next one that is coming up would divide the United States because of the dams and the levees along the Mississippi River collapsing, as they did the levees in New Orleans. And we can well imagine that they would be given a little help if they didn't collapse properly. About a month ago, there was a dam near the New Madrid Fault that collapsed, and I think maybe one person was killed because it wasn't heavily populated at the time. It was a campground, but hundreds of people would have been killed. And Possibly this was a test for creating flood conditions in the central U.S. But in my research, I came across a man who is a futurist who has authored 4 books on the New Madrid seismic zone. And he has been trying to warn the governmental authorities, environmental groups, everyone he can, about the danger of this earthquake coming up. Apparently nobody's listening to him. He sounds very frustrated. And very few people, even in that area, know about this fault. Someone wrote to tell me that people don't even have earthquake insurance. Very few people do, even though it's very inexpensive there. They just don't think it's ever going to happen again. And do I have time to read this statement by Sam Penny Kelly? Or
we have about 5.5 minutes, so
okay.
Yeah.
I'll read it.
Okay.
He said, the economy of the United States is highly dependent upon the industrial and shipping capacity that resides along the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. The destruction of the transportation corridors along the Mississippi River and the growing use of just-in-time inventory control will have a domino effect throughout the rest of the country. Businesses dependent upon goods and services from the stricken area will cease their operations until alternate suppliers are found. The manufacturing infrastructure for the entire country will be totally disrupted. With the loss of all river barge traffic and destruction of all rail and highway crossings of the rivers from St. Louis and Cincinnati to Vicksburg, the eastern part of the United States will suffer energy and food shortages for months, if not years, following the earthquake. The United States will suffer an instantaneous 4% drop in its gross domestic product from a New Madrid seismic zone earthquake, followed by a knee-jerk overreaction to the effects of the earthquake, forcing another 4 to 6% drop in the GDP. Equity markets in the United States will collapse. Insurance companies will simply disappear, unable to fulfill their obligations. The entire planet could be plunged into a depression of a magnitude exceeding what was seen in the 1930s. Within a few years, the Far East and Europe will start their recovery, but the United States will find itself left in the backwaters, a shell of its former self. And, of course, he was probably not even taking into account all of the other disasters that the Judeo-Masonic overseers have planned for the United States, and the martial law that is going to result, the Civil War, all of the things that we are beginning to realize will follow this New Madrid earthquake. But the fact that the dams and the levees will break, there will be massive flooding along those states, our crops. This is our agriculture belt. And the crop failures, I mean, we would not be able to produce after such massive flooding. Also, the eastern states, which are heavily dependent not only on the agriculture belt, but on the western states and Mexico, we would not be able to receive food and agriculture goods because the bridges crossing the Mississippi River would have collapsed. The eastern states would be in a bad way.
Barbara, I lived in California, and I think you did too. We were both in a bad earthquake there, and it was just only 6.5 on the Richter scale. And, of course, didn't cause that much damage. But something like this is just... You know, I've never heard of the New Madrid fault line until you, and then I went on the internet and searched it and went to the government's website and found out all about it. And it's quite amazing. We don't have to wait around for it to go off by itself. Maybe there's somebody out there that might give it a little help with electromagnetic impulses or pulses or whatever in the ground. If you've been on my website and those who are out there listening, we do have the Geneva Accords of using weapons of mass casualties against other countries by using weather modifications such as earthquakes. So, you know, that could be. And these false prophets you've been teaching us out, Barbara, don't some of them say that it's going to happen soon, like in December and January, the months we're in right now?
Well, Kim Clements said that 2006 was going to start with this massive earthquake.
Well, you know, today, today is the 11th, January the 11th, and it was interesting what you said about the 9th, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the hour. But today in my Mobile Press, on the first section on page 9, that figures, we got a seal. One of the seals have been broken. Iran moves nuclear seals. And so it's just amazing to me how we could, here we have maybe one of the first seal, or the seals have been broken on the seven seals judgments that are coming upon this earth. And here it is right here in my Mobile Press, that one of the seals, which would be the red horse for war, nuclear war with Iran, right there on the front page. So it's amazing. Y'all been listening to Barbara Aho, her webpage, www.watchuntoprayer.org. And we're going to be selling both days for MP3s for $10.35 and two CDs. You'd have to have four, so for $16.52 for those if you're interested. Please give us a call. We'll be back in 2 minutes with more of Barbara Aho. Good afternoon, and saints of the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are just proud to have you with us today on the Berean Chronicles. This is our second hour coming to you live. We sure appreciate Frank there at the American Voice Radio Network for putting us out live on the C-band satellite system, Galaxy 11, Transponder 12, Audio 8.1, and all of our micro and macro stations that pick us up, and also our in-time radio. Remnant Radio is not picking us up anymore, I hear. Liberty Radio and Truth Radio. So we sure appreciate those. And those, of course, this show will be rebroadcast 24 hours on my webpage, The Berean Chronicles. Those who are out there listening or not signed up for our email, please sign up. There is a chat room going on at the American Voice Radio Network. Phil, maybe check in, see if anybody's chatting in there. And so there's people in there chatting. We don't have one on our webpage as of yet, but to go to the American Voice Radio, www.theamericanvoice. Don't hit where you want to listen, because that might mess up your listening capabilities from where you are on the Berean Chronicles. It's www.theamericanvoice.com. And go to their chat room, sign up, and go, I've never been to a chat room in my life. So I'm sure they're dangerous, but maybe we can trust a little bit if there's one on mine or there. Somewhat the people in there are not totally evil. we are going to be offering specials for the day. If you get two MP3s of both days with Barbara Hall, they'll run $10.35. If you have to deal with regular CDs, then you'll need four of them, because two per day, and that'd be $16.52. And that does not include shipping and handling, right, Phyllis? That doesn't include tax or shipping and handling. So that's just the regular price, plus tax and shipping and handling. If anybody interested and you're not on the internet, please call us on our toll-free number, 866-273-8253. We'll be happy to send you Barbara's whole Death of the Phoenix, America's Final. Well, it's here somewhere. I don't have the final act for the United States of America, the Death of the Phoenix, final act of the United States of America. And we will be happy to send you some of that if you'd like. Or we'll give you, if you don't have a way to get to Barbara's webpage or to ours, please call us. We'll be happy to send that to you for the cost of the paper and the shipping. We today are learning about what is the final plan of these, the demonic realm and the humans that are following along and bringing about for the new world order. And we're going to ask Barbara why she chose the death of the phoenix, and we need to learn a little bit about the phoenix bird and what that means, and what is the rising up of the Atlantis, and what that means. And y'all, it is her article's 8 acts long, as in a play, acts, opening and closing of where we're going. And it's quite amazing, especially after listening to yesterday's show with John Daniels and learning a bit about Cassini, and maybe that act with the Cassini being thrown into Saturn and a big, huge explosion occurring, and possible fallout even affecting us. So part of their display in the sky of what they're going to be doing. So, you know, things are getting interesting in the year 2006 already. We've only been here 11 days, and already we're seeing many things. We're going to get Barbara to spend some time about Alito also. As they started his hearings on the 9th, and his speech was exactly 11 minutes long. There are 18 people on the committee, which is a hidden 666. I thought that was, and then on the 9th, the Dow was 11,000 or above 11,000. There was another 911 there, which a 9, of course, a hidden 33. And then today being the 11th, we've got a seal being unsealed on the nuclear devices in Iran. I thought that was quite interesting. So Barbara, I'm sure we'll touch on some of those. And Barbara Aho with watchundoprayer.org ministries, watch-unto-prayer.org. Her link is also on our webpage. I love the scripture. She, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Barbara, appreciate you being with us again in the second hour in 2 days. Did you get you some water?
I did.
Good. We don't want to wear out your voice too much. We don't want to feel bad. But we love what your work. We love what the Lord has shown you. And, you know, one of the things, thank you. You know, I've been seeing this charismatic movement, and I'm right here by Brownsville Assembly of God, and I've been seeing a lot of this charismatic. You know, you go see them, they're just a bunch of them rolling around laughing and drunk and talking in tongues and doing all this crazy, weird stuff. When, you know, and the scriptures are clear that, number one, there's not any new prophecy coming out, okay? The Lord's given us all we need, and he's told us not to add to or take away. And to mix prophecy with tongues, which tongues was to give the gospel in a certain language, and prophecy is to tell what God is saying or what God has said, and to a group of people, but also, and to mix those two together. And yeah, I never really thought they were any threat to us. I thought they were, all they were doing was running around having a meeting where they all rolled around and they'd go home and mind their own business and then go to another meeting and roll around some more. So I was never worried about the charismatic movement, although I've heard Rick Joyner, it might have been Chuck that was here with him in Mobile, because I had some doctor's wives' friends that were going, and I needed to go. I tried to pay a little bit of attention to what was going on with the charismatic movement, the Assembly of God, Brownsville in Pensacola, seeing she wasn't able to walk for a couple of days after being there. So, a holy glitter coming out of pores. I mean, bunch of weird stuff going on here in Mobile, Alabama. And so I went and exposed myself to this evil just like twice. I never went to Brownsville, but I went to speak with people that had been there, and I watched a CD of it. So I never worried. I just thought they were all just going around having their little spiritual orgasm type experiences, and that was it, and that's all they mattered to America. But yet, the books that these people are writing and connecting it with their dominionist philosophy, and that God's going to come down and wreck all. They get all excited when they hear about something like this gigantic Madrid earthquake. They get excited. They're all getting excited at their little meetings when they're prophesying these evil events coming upon this country. And I'm not sure if it's because they're excited that maybe God's coming back or what. I'm not sure what they get excited about. But I've never thought them to be a threat, and but they're not really a threat, but they are a threat because of what they're saying through this whole movement, and they're all being led astray horribly by these leaders like Kim Clement and Chuck and Rick Joyner and all that. So I sure appreciate you reading all through their stuff, because I haven't, and bringing it to us. And so go ahead and get started again. Tell us why you chose the name, The Death of the Phoenix, The Final Act.
Okay, before I get to that, I just want to make one comment on the charismatics, because I've had some experience with the charismatic movement when we first were saved. That's where we got saved.
Uh-huh.
We ran it for a few years. We didn't stay long because we began to see the strange stuff. But then I have family that's involved within it, so I've kind of kept track of what's going on, and I was aware of Peter Wagner. And, of course, the Brownsville and the Toronto revivals were frightening. Mm. Me, and I believe that there was demon possession going on at
most
that time.
Most definitely.
But something has happened to these people who were involved in that. There's a tremendous disconnect that's going on in their thinking processes.
Yeah.
And as I watched this Benny Hinn conference with Chuck Pierce, now this took both of them took place after Hurricane Katrina, and there were still news reports of the horrors. The death and destruction, the human suffering.
1,100 died, yeah.
Yes, and that's only what we're told about. But
perfect number, huh?
Yes, but this was a pastor's conference, and there wasn't a wet eye in that place. They were all rejoicing because there's a revival. And I thought, what's wrong with these people? You know, don't they see what this man is doing, that he's prophesying the next disaster that's going to strike? And there was no revival come out.
And that's the big thing about the charismatic movement, is that there's going to be a great end-time revival. And I tell them, where is it in the scriptures? There's no end-time revival. There's a great falling away, and then you guys are in that boat that's falling off the deep end. For sure, but there's a great falling away, but there's no great revival. But that's another big thing they all talk about, a great revival.
Well, it's an occult revival.
Yes,
that's
amen.
That's what it is.
Exactly, right.
But it's...
Will accept the Antichrist, revival that will bring them to accept the Antichrist as God.
That's right. That's what they're helping to do.
Right.
But, okay, you mentioned about the means that the occult societies have to produce earthquakes, but there's something very unique about St. Louis. There's a Masonic monument in St. Louis called the Gateway Arch, and it was built in 1965 by a Finnish architect, Eero Saarinen. I don't know if you saw the picture of it.
I did.
Okay.
In your thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's patterned.
And I'm sure everybody's seen it somewhere in a picture of St. Louis. It's kind of like what it looked to me like, a portal into the demonic, kind of like the witch in the wardrobe, when they go in the wardrobe, like a portal into the demonic realm.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, or what it stands for, because, they call it the Gateway to the West.
Oh.
But it's in commemoration of St. Louis being the Gateway to the West. But when you find out what it's going to be used for, it's really a gateway into the new the New World Order.
I wonder who St. Louis is named after.
It's named after one of the kings of France.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be the 14th. Not
Louis
the 16th. 14th.
Not Louis the 16th.
He's the one
Louis
they
14th,
kill.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure
of course, he had connections with the Rosicrucians, but
right.
I won't go into that. The Gateway Arch is the second largest monument in the world. It's lower only than the Eiffel Tower. It's rooted in the bedrock next to the Mississippi River, and it's coated with stainless steel. And it very well could be rooted in this fault line, but they don't tell you that. Now, should this arch be struck by an airplane or even a laser beam or even a sonic boom, could produce the vibrations that would trigger this New Madrid earthquake? And in fact, as I was researching, I found that there was a 1960s comic book of Captain Marvel who defeated a monster by using the Gateway Arch as a tuning fork. So,
now, what year was this born? What year did they build this arch?
They built it in 65, and this,
so they were planning for this earthquake. Of course, they have for hundreds of years, but back then they planned for it.
Yes, it was, and I. There's websites up that explain the sacred geometry of the Gateway Arch, and it's patterned after the Royal Arch, or it represents the Royal Arch degree of Freemasonry. It's quite complex. I have a link to it on the website. But this whole thing, they have been planning for years. In fact, even from, I think, before the foundation, before the Freemasons got a hold of this country and set up their own government, they were planning for its destruction. This was simply an intermediate point, and I'm for them. They're headed towards Jerusalem, and they have to sink the United States to get there. But I'm going to get to that in a little while. Now, we talked about the gateway. And the god of gateways is the god Janus, the Roman god Janus. And, of course, Janus, the month of January, is named after the god Janus. So it kind of makes sense that in January that they would set off this gateway arch and have their flood. Now,
there's not much time for people to prepare. Those who live, that are listening to this, that live in the areas of the Madrid fault line, prepare, get out or prepare. I mean, Janus, it was named after them, and oh my goodness, go ahead, Barbara. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, it looks very ominous. But, you know, we live in the midst of these hurricanes. You do too. God took care of us, and with the Lord are the issues from death. We have to trust him when it's our time.
But we prepare.
But we prepare.
Yeah.
We do. We prepared for the hurricane.
Yeah.
We're preparing for the next one.
Yeah. we're preparing for rougher ones each time, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you want to be around as long as the Lord wants to have you around.
Yeah. And we prepare, and we use all of the faculties he's given us to protect ourselves, and then we pray for his supernatural protection, for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I know you saw it as we did.
Yes.
In these hurricanes. But, the Janus Festival, well, you already mentioned it, is January 9th, and I thought that might be one possibility for this earthquake, but nothing happened, except that these hearings for Samuel Alito began on January 9th. Now, this does signify these hearings.
Now, let me just interrupt you again. They were supposed to have started earlier, and they put it off a week.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Probably very deliberately.
Very deliberately, yes.
Okay, because the Janus Festival celebrated the passing of the old order. And that's what we're going to see when Samuel Alito gets on the bench. So, I forgot to mention.
Just give some background with Alito, too. He was that Bush came out on the 31st of on Halloween, Samhain, to announce his pick for the Supreme Court. And he'd be one of probably five Opus Dei. And while we're remembering talking Opus Dei, remember Alan Keyes came to Alabama and camped out with us on the court steps. He's an Opus Dei, right along with the Clarence Thomas and Scalia and all the other, Hansen, all the other bad Opus Dei's. And he camped out with us and preached and stood for Roy Moore and pretty much almost slept, stayed there all night, half the night, couple nights, and was there for a whole week or 2 weeks. How long was it, Phyllis? Alan Keyes. Can you imagine someone like Alan Keyes coming to Alabama and just staying there? Practically one of the only blacks out there, a couple more. And I interviewed him while we were out there, but I met him in person. He's a great orator. But he's an Opus Dei at the same time, coming here and helping with the Alabama situation.
Well, Opus Dei is very important.
Opus Dei, yeah.
It's very super surreptitious, but it's going to figure very prominently in the Dominionist movement and the theocracy that they're going to set up, which I'm hoping to talk about tomorrow. But I want to talk about just this Edgar Cayce prophecy. Now, Edgar Cayce prophesied that the Great Lakes would flow over into the Mississippi River and a great watery divide would split the USA right down the middle. And I got this from a New Age website, and he didn't quote Edgar Cayce. There was a link to the website, but here's what he said about this flooding of the U.S. mainland. Flooding of the Mississippi will split the U.S. mainland in half in March and April of 2006 and January to February of 2007. The Great Lakes will empty into the Gulf of Mexico via this great strait. It will be called the Great Midwest Strait. From whatever cause, see here he's not telling people the cause, massive flooding in the Midwest in 2006 will be the first stage. The Midwest will never completely recover, but will remain chronically flooded, possibly experiencing more flooding in the summer and fall. January to February 2007 will see the completion of the two-staged chronic flood, where the Edgar Cayce prophecy will actually be fulfilled, when the Great Lakes will overflow into the Mississippi and a great watery divide splits the USA right down the middle. So this is a New Age. These people, and I see, I don't consider Edgar Cayce so much a prophet. He's either getting his information from the Judeo-Freemasons who are going to bring this about, or it's a blueprint for action. He's telling his New Age followers what's going to happen in advance. That's why they're all happy about what's taking place. But really, this flooding of the central states, when you think about it, it's going to destroy the Bible Belt. And the central states are the agriculture belt, the transportation, and automotive capital. These are the solid people who work, who produce for the United States. If you look at the East and West Coast, they're mainly the service industries. But these are our producers. They're the Bible Belt. These are the solid, fundamental Christians. And it seems very strange that God would be starting revival by depopulating the Bible Belt. But I want to read the prophecies of Kim Clement and Chuck Pierce in relation to this. They are actually looking forward to the Bible Belt being destroyed. Kim Clement was on the TBN Praise the Lord show in September, and he said, okay, he's speaking for God here. One of the things God said was, I'm going to take the Bible Belt, and I'm going to unbuckle it and reveal its nakedness, because it's actually religion controlling the Bible Belt, and that's controlling America. People don't even realize this. He said it's actually religion. It's not a spiritual wave of his spirit. Now, what he calls religion is really fundamental Bible-believing Christianity. And this fundamentalists are not going to buy into their New Age revival with a new revelation every day coming out that contradicts the Bible. So they have to get rid of these people. He went on to say in another venue, the spirit of Jezebel is not in a woman. It is a force that has controlled this nation called religion. Gatekeepers of America, do not play the game. He's talking to the pastors of the churches. Do not take ecclesiastical favors. Do not call the prophets villains, meaning themselves, meaning the, I'm speaking here, the people like you and I who come out against these false prophets, that we're not to do this, and the pastors aren't to believe us. And he says, who are the gatekeepers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, elders, deacons, healers, and workers of miracles, gifts of faith, the great interpreters of the language of the Spirit? Notice he doesn't say those who teach sound doctrine. He's speaking about great interpreters of the language of the Spirit, which is what they do. They're into private interpretations of prophecy and private interpretations of the Word of God and new revelations. And they despise those who just hold to the sound doctrines of the Word of God. And then Chuck Pierce, he also comes out against this dead religion. This is what he calls it, dead religion, because it doesn't have signs and wonders and manifestations and falling down and laughing and barking, all of the demonic manifestations, which he calls the wave of the Spirit. So this is what Chuck Pierce said in just September of last year. To the church, I will reverse cessation thinking. Many have held on to a dead religion. Let go of old religious patterns and embrace my resurrection and power. The wind of my power will begin to blow and will not be able to be explained. See, you can't explain it through using the Word of God because it's not in the Word of God. Okay, then he kind of gets on a new tack. There will be a desire for my Spirit. Those who do not repent of a religion that denies my Spirit in the earth will not embrace my covenant plan or people in the future. I have chosen Israel as the deciding factor in the earth. Those who do not acknowledge Israel's place in the earth will not understand the place that I have prepared for them in the days ahead. So now he's, well, I'm going to come back to this issue of Zionism in a minute. But because all of these prophets in the charismatic movement, in the Strategic Prayer Network, are zealous Zionists, and that means that they're promoting the Freemasonic agenda that's going on over there in Israel. That doesn't mean that they love the Jews. Okay, Kim Clement, he seems to be saying that the Bible Belt has to be depopulated for this revival on the West Coast to get going, because these fundamentalist Christians would surely be the ones to expose what's going on the way they did with Toronto and Brownsville and all of the events of the past 10 years that have led to the charismatic apostasy. So Kim Clement made this prophecy about the West Coast. The West Coast is about to be saturated with the moves of the Spirit that is similar to how it took place at Azusa Street, but in a far different way. It will begin this year. They say, but it must go to another state. But God says, I choose this one at the turn of the previous century, but now I'm choosing the West Coast again. California, I have called you once again to take the Spirit without measure, but this time it will not remain in an upper room. Now, I'm not going to go into it here, but in my article on the destruction, the death of the Phoenix, I have a whole section on, trying to think of the name of that section. It's about the third section. I just can't remember the name of it, but it goes into the West Coast revival and how Kim Clement is saying that the gay community is going to lead the nation in this revival that is going to take place after the Bible Belt is taken care of. And it's quite astounding what they have planned for the West Coast. So the question that a lot of people can't seem to answer and that all of these prophecies raise is, why do they want to destroy the United States? Why would the Freemasons want to destroy what they have built? But there's a very good reason for that. And I'm going to get into that in the remaining time today and for part of the time tomorrow if I don't finish today. Now, as I said, all of these charismatic Zionists, they are all Zionists. And they have told us that Katrina was judgment on the state of Louisiana for, I think it was because of the, or New Orleans, because of the strong Roman Catholic element there, and the Freemasons hate the Roman Catholics, hate the Roman Catholic Church because of the persecutions that they endured during the Middle Ages. But what they do is they have misapplied the Abrahamic covenant. And they say to the Christians that I will bless, that Genesis 12:3 applies to Israel still. And that is, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. But the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. And according to Paul, this verse now applies to the Christians who are the seed of Abraham by faith. Now, I'm not saying that the church has replaced Israel and that God will never have anything to do with Israel again. That's not true. But the Lord Jesus did curse the nation of Israel when he cursed the fig tree. And Kelly read that verse where Jesus said, your house is left to you desolate, and you shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When the Jews, and there will be a remnant of Jews that receive Jesus Christ during the tribulation period and certainly at his second coming, and the book of Zechariah indicates that this will be one-third of Israel. But so God is going to return and keep his promises to the remnant of Jews who receive him. But in the meantime, that verse, I will bless them that bless thee, meaning Israel, doesn't refer to Israel. It refers to the church. So these Zionists are teaching false doctrine. They are claiming that anyone who does not do the will of the Judeo-Masonic government over there in Israel is going to be cursed, and they say that this is why the state of Louisiana was cursed. And anybody else who gets out of line is going to be cursed. What they don't tell us is that the state of Louisiana, in fact, there are 23 states in the United States that have trade agreements with Israel. The state of Louisiana over the past several years has contributed $3 million to this trade with Israel in order to help out the Israeli economy. Now, the Zionists never tell you this. All they do is rant about how the United States is not giving Israel enough. Even though the United States itself gives $3 billion a year, it's not enough. And that we cannot encourage the Gaza pullout. We cannot encourage the Jews to pull out or demand that they pull out of the West Bank. And Pat Robertson is now making statements that Sharon's stroke is because he oversaw this and required it. These are all not based on sound doctrine in the Bible. The Jews do not have a legitimate right to that land until they recognize the Messiah. And the Messiah will gather the Jews from all over the world and bring them back and set up his kingdom. But these Judeo-Freemasons are attempting to do that first. They're preempting God, trying to set up their own kingdom and set up their Antichrist over there in Israel before the Lord Jesus arrives. So this is the propaganda that these Zionist charismatics are giving out to their followers. But next, I want to get into why the United States must be sacrificed. And the reason the United States must be sacrificed at this point in time. It has served as a transitional homeland for the Jews in the diaspora, the dispersion. And it's also served as a base of operations where the Knights Templars could establish a financial and military empire that would enable them to repossess the Holy Land. Now, they tried doing this over there in Europe during the Middle Ages, but the Pope and the King of France got wise to their schemes. And in 1307, after the Crusades were over, they issued a decree that all of the Knights Templars should be killed. And there was a mass slaughter of Knights Templars. They were attempting at the time to set up a banking system in Europe, which I would compare to the Federal Reserve here. They wanted control of the money, and they were getting it. And they had the monarchies in hock to themselves, and the King of France and the Pope just got sick and tired of this underground movement, and so they determined that it was not safe for Europe to have them around. They were really a criminal element in Europe. The vast majority of them were murdered on October 13. That's a very significant date to them, in 1307. And those who escaped fled to Scotland, where they proceeded to set up their... they infiltrated the guilds, the Masonic guilds over there, or the builders' guilds in Scotland. So at this point, then in the report I go into some detail about how in 1492 Christopher Columbus was financed by the Medici and René d'Anjou and various Merovingian elites over these wealthy families, wealthy Jewish families. He was, and there's some speculation that Columbus himself was Jewish. August 2nd of 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain, and the very next day, Columbus set sail for the New World with a group of Jewish explorers. They were seeking another homeland for the Jews, where they could set up their own empire, where they would be free from interference. And the report goes into a lot of this history, how they came over here, set up their homeland, maybe even brought the Ark of the Covenant with them. But at this point, that was 500 years ago. And, the phoenix lives for 500 years, and then it's scheduled to die. This is the mythical bird that symbolizes the self-destruction of the United States. And when they speak of the phoenix, they mean that the United States is not going to last. It was preordained just as a temporary homeland for the Jews on their way to the Holy Land. And in these 500 years, they have been able to construct really the greatest nation the world has ever known in terms of financial power, military might, scientific advances. It's just amazing. You would wonder why they would want to destroy this. But you have to see the big picture. Their goal is the Holy Land. They want not only to rule over one nation, they want to rule over the whole world. So they want to set up their kingdom of the Antichrist. They need to be in Israel to do this. And unfortunately, well, they got many of the Jews of Europe to come over to the United States through the pogroms and the Holocaust, and they got some of them over to Israel through the Holocaust. But 40% of world Jewry still lives in the United States. And these Jews have to be motivated to move over to Israel. They have not been able to get them to move up until this point. They are simply too comfortable here. They have achieved a lot. They are our doctors and our lawyers. They have very comfortable lives. And I even sat in a meeting of Orthodox Jews when I lived up north. Barry Chamish was leading a group of them, talking to a group of them and trying to get them to move over to Israel with him. And they said, oh, well, why should we go over there? There's all that fighting and death and destruction, and we really like it here. We're so comfortable. So the Judeo-Freemasons have to make the United States such a disaster zone that they will be motivated to move out of their comfort zone. But, of course, once they get to Israel, they will encounter a false messiah who will be enthroned as the reincarnation of King Solomon in the Temple of Solomon, which is soon going to be rebuilt by the Knights Templar, who are the order of the Temple of Solomon, and a lot of the money that's going to build this temple will be coming from Christians. You just see how they're using the Christians for the devil's schemes. And another hurdle that the Jews will face is the mark of the beast, which we believe is the Star of David. The six-pointed star is an occult symbol. The Jews are very attached to the Star of David. I don't know how many of them realize it. I know some do, that they realize the occultism of it. But if Zechariah 13 is any indication, two-thirds of the Jews in Israel will take the seal of Solomon as a tattoo on their foreheads or their right hands when the Antichrist takes the throne and demands allegiance to Lucifer. Now, this is not a Jewish conspiracy. I want to say that right off the bat, because not all Jews are involved in this. It's more accurately called a Zionist conspiracy. And I say that Zion with an S, because let me explain a little bit about the history of Israel. You have to understand that after Solomon died, the Jews were divided into the ten northern tribes and the two southern tribes. The ten northern tribes were called Israel. The two southern tribes were called Judah. And from that point on, there was war and dissension between the two. And a few hundred years later, a couple hundred years later, God was the northern tribes went into idolatry right away. They set up the calf worship. And the tribe of Dan in particular took the lead. And if you remember from the Bible, Dan relocated its territory from the seacoast to the Mount Hermon region. And that is because the tribe of Dan was involved in the Canaanite worship that was so prominent in that Mount Hermon area, the Baal worship. And Mount Hermon is also called Sion with an S, S-I-O-N, and it's very distinct from the Mount Zion with a Z in Jerusalem. So we have to keep this distinction in mind. These people are Zionists. They are the descendants of these northern tribes. The northern tribes, most of them never returned to Israel after the Assyrian captivity, whereas the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, which are called Judah, they were taken captive for their idolatry into Babylon. But after 70 years, many of them returned, and they rebuilt Jerusalem and what was Israel at the time of Christ. But the term Jew really comes from Judah. And so all of these other Israelites really have no right to call themselves Jews. Jew describes either the tribe of Judah or the southern tribes of Benjamin and Judah. So we can't say it's a Jewish conspiracy. It is a Zionist conspiracy. These are the ten northern tribes led by the tribe of Dan, which will probably produce the Antichrist, from all the indications of Scripture. And this group of Jews is leading a conspiracy not only against the world, but against their brethren in Judah and Benjamin, the southern tribes. So when the Lord Jesus returns, there are scriptures that say that he is going to save Judah from these other tribes. So we have to keep this division within the Israelites in mind when we talk about any conspiracy today. And it's a misnomer to call it a Jewish conspiracy. I prefer to say Zionist conspiracy or refer to them as the synagogue of Satan, because these are the Jews that went into idolatry, the Israelites that went into idolatry. They still are idolaters. They worship Baal, and they intend to steal the birthright from the tribe of Judah. Okay, now the Mount Zion, S-I-O-N, in Hermon, is the place where they believe that the fallen angels descended and mated with human women in Genesis 6. And this is the reason why these Zionists want to get back to Israel. They do not really care that much about Jerusalem or Mount Zion, but they're going to use it because they're going to deceive the Jews and the Christians and the rest of the world. They're going to use it for a while, but and they're going to set up their phony temple there and everything, a lot of counterfeits. But their goal is to get to Mount Hermon, Mount Zion, where the fallen angels descended and mated with human women. And this is where they're going to set up their temple of Baal worship. And they are going to recreate the lost civilization, which God judged in Genesis 6 or 7, right after those all of that mating went on. And what you had was a demonic hybrid race of beings, which God had to eradicate. But they are going to, they think, they're going to go back to Mount Zion and bring up this lost civilization of Atlantis. And, of course, the Antichrist is going to call forth Lucifer, who is going to bring up all of these departed souls, so they think. And this probably is what we see in the book of Revelation, where you see all of these demonic beings rise up out of the sea and out of the earth. Now, Mount Hermon is located at the 33rd degree latitude. And I really do believe this is why the 33rd degree is so important in Freemasonry, because Freemasonry is based upon this apostate Judaism. The Protocols of Zion were signed by the representatives of Sion of the 33rd degree, that's Sion with an S. And the false Messiah from the tribe of Dan will reign over the world from the territory of Mount Sion in Dan rather than Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And their ultimate objective is to recreate the pagan pre-flood culture. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this synagogue of Satan. I mentioned the learned elders of the Sion of the 33rd degree. They are the pinnacle of this pyramid. They are at the very top. They rule over all of the secret societies worldwide. Sometimes they go under the name of the Priori Dei Sion. Under them is B'nai B'rith and B'nai Noach, all of these brotherhoods, which are I don't want to say Jewish because they're Zionists. They are the synagogue of Satan. These are the northern tribes that are going to wipe out the Jews, the tribe of Judah, and take the birthright. Okay, under the learned elders of Zion, Sion of the 33rd degree, are all of the Judeo-Freemasonry. Now, in the last century, I think it was in the second half, I'm not sure of the date, maybe 1870, Albert Pike signed an agreement with Giuseppe Mazzini. And, of course, he was the head of European Freemasonry at that time. Albert Pike was the supreme commander over here. And this treaty between the two put all of Gentile Freemasonry under the government of B'nai B'rith. Now, this was unknown to all of the Gentile Masonic societies, but all of Gentile Freemasonry is under this synagogue of Satan, the 12 northern or the 10 northern tribes under the command of the tribe of Dan, which are these learned elders of Zion. Rabbi Isaac Meir Wise, who was a major pioneer of Reform Judaism in America, stated in 1855, Freemasonry is a Jewish establishment whose history, grades, official appointments, passwords, and explanation are Jewish from beginning to end. Now, what he should have said, it's a Zionist establishment. Not all Jews are for this or even know what's going on. But he's got the right idea, because if you look at all of the degrees of Freemasonry, their rites are all about Solomon, all about the temple and the ark. The whole history of the dispersion of the northern tribes, the Israelites, is in those grades, those rites of Freemasonry. They even call the Grand Master of the Knights Templar and the Priory of Zion, the High Priest. So what these Zionists, the Synagogue of Satan, are doing is they're going back to their mentor, who was King Solomon, who really led the nation of Israel, into idolatry during his reign. And he is their model Messiah. He is their vision of what a Messiah should be. And all of the rites are patterned after him and what he did. In his temple, there were Masonic rites going on. There were idols on the walls, idol worship, all kinds of abominations, as we read about in the book of Ezekiel. And the synagogue of Satan worships Solomon. They hated Jesus because he was poor and humble, because he loved the poor people and the little people. They prefer a Messiah like Solomon, who will lead the people into idolatry. And so I think I'll stop there. Well, do I have time, Kelly? I don't know.
We have 9 minutes left, and I had a couple questions. So they're trying to create a situation here in this country so that they could get maybe more of the Jews to move back home and get them set up for when the abomination of desolation takes place, and they maybe the tribe of Judah, the one that runs off and is protected.
Yes.
Petra, on eagle's wings.
Yes. It seems, if you look at Bible prophecy, that seems to be what's going to happen.
And Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 says, you know, woe to them that are with child, and they hope your travel, not even to go down and get your coat, but be prepared to run to Petra, or to the Rock City, I guess. It doesn't tell them where to run, but in the scriptures, but supposedly people believe Petra. Who knows? Where do you think?
I don't know. I really haven't looked into that. I just know that he's going to take care of the remnant.
So the persecution of Judah, of Jews, all these years, has really much come from their own people.
It has. It has. And in my last series...
Who are demonically possessed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And those, in the show, Rick Warren, he's also one that's come out and said that fundamentalism is going to be the biggest enemy of the 21st century, fundamental Christianity. And so you see that, and fundamental Judah, those who do go by maybe the Ten Commandments and try to go by the Old Testament. You call this the phoenix bird, and the phoenix bird, here Hebron, what's the name of the city where Zion is? Mount Zion?
Oh, Hermon.
Hermon, okay. And it's on the 33rd parallel. I think that's very interesting because, see, the phoenix bird is all the phoenix, which, of course, the phoenix bird was the eagle, is the eagle that's on our dollar bill and or on our seal. It used to be a phoenix bird, and they kind of changed it because people knew what a phoenix bird was, a satanic symbol and of maybe being birthed into reincarnation or whatever. And of course, Phoenix City, Arizona is on the 33rd parallel, and along with Phoenix City here in Alabama.
Yes.
Where they're bringing Fort Knox and 50,000 Marines with the movement of the military into the South, into Alabama.
Well, you know, Kelly, they're also moving the military into Kansas, and there's one other state. I don't think they're going to be too near the New Madrid Fault. But it looks like there's a buildup going on for the martial law that's going to be declared once this disaster happens.
Mm-hmm. And so that's, it's quite amazing, though, that they would choose the 33rd parallel for sure, but because of the number of Freemasonry, but that we have one here in Alabama.
Yes.
Which, you know, and of course in Phoenix, in Arizona. And tell us a little bit about the phoenix bird. And George Bush, every one of his Christmas cards, he has a phoenix bird in every, of course, we don't like the word Christmas anyways, but in a supposed Christmas card that he had sent out since he became president, there's nothing Christmas in it, but there's always a phoenix bird in every Christmas card. And it's always fun to try to hunt and peck and try to find where it is. Some of them are easily seen, some of them aren't. But tell us a little bit of the history behind the phoenix bird.
Well, the phoenix really refers to Horus, the Egyptian god. You really have to go back to Osiris and Isis, and they represent the religion of Nimrod. That God, of course, God judged that religion of Nimrod. He confounded the languages. They were not permitted to unite the world and to unite the religions against God at that time, and of course. This is where the myth of Osiris and Isis, you know, plus the flood, the great flood, this was God's judgment on a demonic race. And when they talk about the phoenix, they're going back to Horus and Nimrod, and they are going to resurrect these demigods. But first they have to destroy the Christian faith because they hate the God of the Bible. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate his interference with their pagan plans and with the society, the pre-flood civilization that they were building. And Lucifer, who is behind all of this, has been waiting his time to overthrow all of this that God has redeemed and drawn people out of this world to himself, and he has established the Christian church, and they have just, Lucifer has been biding his time and using the Israelites from the northern kingdom to do his work, promising them a homeland and that they will be the most important people in the world. They will rule the world. This is what he's promising them, if they will bring him back to establish his kingdom. And so that's what that's all about. And the phoenix is just their symbol of this.
You know, and many of the wives of our presidents wear a little phoenix bird on their lapel, and which is quite interesting also. And so many of these northern tribes, Zionists, have infiltrated the Catholic Church, Christianity, all through the Dominionist with Howard Phillips. We have so many out there that are former Jews who are now proclaiming, you know, Calvinism, or and even in your work, which you have exposed the fact that John Calvin possibly was a Zionist Jew.
Yes. I was going to go into that tomorrow.
We'll get into that tomorrow for sure, as we get into Act 3 or Act 4 of the Death of the Phoenix and and the destruction of America, the final act for the United States of America. Folks, you have been listening to Barbara Aho, her ministry, watchuntoprayer.org, www.watch-unto-prayer.org. And really appreciate all the work that she has done. It has been a huge blessing today. This is a very important taping recording that we're doing today and tomorrow, Barbara, because this is something people need to hear. They need to go to your webpage and download and copy. This is a whole book. This isn't just a little small thing. It's probably about 50 pages to 100 pages long, or a couple hundred pages long, the whole story, the whole report, as you call it. And I suggest people get it, sit down one day, and read through it a couple days, and just try to digest it. It'll take a couple readings to get it all digested. She's done a mountain worth of work here. Barbara, we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Thank you.
For sure. For sure. And so what are you going tomorrow in this?
Tomorrow I want to finish talking about the Zionist conspiracy. And then I want to go into Samuel Alito.
Good.
And the Dominionist movement, and where all of this is going.
Okay.
Once we get past the New Madrid.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, it'd be very interesting. While all this is going on with Alito in Washington, D.C., and it was amazing that his speech was exactly 11 minutes long. Quite amazing. On the 9th. Barbara, looking forward to it. God bless. Stay on the line. Folks, we're back tomorrow with more of the Brian Chronicles and Barbara Aho. In her report, The Death of the Phoenix, Final Act for the United States of America. And we will be back tomorrow.